The Faith and Freedom Coalition has just launched a massive 2020 digital campaign to reach 22 million evangelical and Catholic voters in key states. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now we're going to talk with Tim Head, who is the executive director of the Faith and Freedom Coalition, which is the group I just mentioned. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Tim, it's great to have you on the this segment. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Now, you all noted that Donald Trump won 81% of the evangelical votes. And I do believe, by the way, that would be 81% of the white evangelical vote. Some on the left tried to make a big deal out of that. But, of course, it's difficult for, Republicans to win a sizable majority of blacks, whether they're evangelicals or otherwise, as far as voting. But your comments?
Yes, that's right. So in the electorate last election, our presidential election cycle, the political breakdown almost ends up being a sociological breakdown. So there are kind of tried and true definitions for the last half century over what constitutes a quote unquote evangelical. And so that it's kind of, observance of certain doctrinal or denominational affiliations. And so, when you talk about, white evangelicals, that's almost more of a sociological term, it has denominational and racial, nomenclature to it, but it's more kind of like, this is the way political scientists define these terms.
Sure. All right. Now here's an interesting statistic, that somebody, compiled recently. They said about 23 million people watched the Oscars the other night, the Academy Awards, including the little mini Trump bashing speeches and so forth, although I don't think it was as bad as I understand. I didn't watch it as in some of the other awards ceremonies. Meanwhile, about 47 million people watched the State of the Union address. And this person that sent this article to me, or this comparison of statistics, said, quote unquote, normally a State of the Union address is about as interesting to watch as paint dry. Not this time around. With the Iowa debacle the day before and the Senate impeachment vote the day after, people were obviously paying attention. I take this as a very good sign. Now, this was written by somebody that supports Trump, but isn't that an interesting contrast? 23 million people watching the Oscars, which includes the Trump-bashing stuff, light this time. 47 million people watching President Trump's State of the Union address, but of course Nancy Pelosi tore it up right behind him as part of her theatrics.
Right. I'm sure that you travel through airports, like a lot of people do, like I do. And ironically, no matter what airport I'm in, frankly, even at what country I'm in, televisions are tuned in to the news, and the news, whether pro or con, is about Donald Trump. It's like a magnetic phenomenon, right? Whether you are tuning in to hate what he's saying or you're tuning in to love what he's saying, the reality is that everybody is tuning in to hear what he's saying. In contrast, I think at this point, half of the country really doesn't. I'm not that interested in hearing what the Academy Awards has to say, because I know what its disposition is going to be, and I probably only watched one of the eight movies that it's going to be the finalist anyway. So there's really not a lot of suspense for me. So I do think there's a real phenomenal reality that sure. that Donald Trump is capturing the attention of all eyeballs in the United States, whether people like it or not.
You know, it's interesting that very point that you were just making, whether it was good coverage or bad coverage, obviously in the case of, CNN or whatever, I mean, it's almost so consistently negative, it's a turnoff. But anyway, I guess you don't have any choice in the airports, though, as far as the, which network to watch. But just real fast. In the book by Bill O'Reilly about Trump. I think it's called The United States of Trump, I believe. And I heard it as an audiobook. But he made a fascinating statistical point in one of the early debates of the Republicans when Trump was still not even, you know, the nominee. He was just a candidate among many, the debate with Trump, and Trump was kind of like the central player. It got, you know, a whole, you know, huge number of people, of viewers. And then there was another debate, and Trump said, I don't think that, you know, Megyn Kelly should be asked, you know, should be a moderator for this because she hasn't apologized. She mistreated me last time, blah, blah, blah. And Fox said, no, you know, we're not going to back down on this. And he said, fine, I'm not going to participate. So they had a candidates debate without Trump, and the ratings were half. They were half the number of when Trump was participating in the debate. So there is a sense in which Trump is a magnet. You're right. You know, one way or the other, love him or hate him. Now, part of the reason some people, even conservatives, don't like him is like, oh, they find his tweets offensive, or they find his rudeness, you know, brash, his being from New York City and so forth, and living that out. But what about the good pro-life judges and the good economy and, you know, working hard for religious liberty and, you know, defunding Planned Parenthood and so forth, all the great stuff?
Supporting Israel just in, in the last 4 months alone, since October of last year, four of the most hunted terrorists in the world have been eliminated. Because the man that sits in the Oval Office identified with laser-sharp precision the United States military is going to target these four individuals who are planning and executing heinous crimes and have been, by the way, some of them for 30 years.
Wow.
So the three-dimensional realities that are actually coming to fruition with this White House and with President Trump are starting to speak for themselves, and frankly, the other side of the coin, I think that that a lot of people are that more and more people are awakening to is the reality that policies actually do make a difference. So for a lot of for a long time, people in Washington D.C. and kind of in the political establishment would kind of do a tap dance of a public persona that was only only tangent to reality. I'm going to play a really nice person when you see me on television, but the actual thing that I'm going to do behind closed doors and through my administration or foreign policy, et cetera, is going to be either not in the best interest of the United States or literally sometimes against the interests of the United States. So you finally have somebody that's flipped that on its ear. And instead of kind of playing nice in the public and doing contrarian things in private, he does good things in through his public policy. But he can be combative in his public persona.
Yep.
And so I think Americans are having to kind of come to terms with the reality that, you know, some people that looked really nice were doing really bad things and not doing the things that we thought, you know, we were under the impression that you couldn't get heads of ISIS. It turns out that we could have gotten heads of ISIS that we didn't even know that was on the table, but because we have someone who's brazen enough to actually pursue those policies and not just kind of do the kind of political soap opera, we actually are seeing real results.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people are starting to come to terms with the reality that maybe this is what new national leadership can look like for the future.
Well, the Faith and Freedom Coalition, your organization, has a video at the website ffcoalition.com that I watched called Promises Kept. And it's very nice little video and so forth. But I think one of the areas where Christians should be of the most concern, and we tend to be, is on the issue of abortion. And honestly, the man's actions speak so loud that it's fantastic. President Trump has done a lot of wonderful things when it comes to the whole issue of abortion, including, you know, appointing pro-life judges, pro-life policies, working to defund Planned Parenthood, and actually doing these things. Your comments?
Well, defunding Planned Parenthood, but also keep in mind, on his, literally his very first day in office, within hours of assuming power, now 3 years ago, he instituted or reinstituted the Mexico City policy, mm-hmm. and then about 3 weeks later, he expanded the Mexico City policy, which that not only limited Mexico City limits certain foreign expenditures, American expenditures in foreign countries that cannot promulgate or promote abortion. So that impacted about $1 billion of federal funding. But he actually expanded that to all federal international aid just a month later. So he actually is impacting $10 billion a year of international aid that cannot perpetuate abortion across the world. So not only is he expanding a pro-life agenda in the United States, but he literally is exporting pro-life policy around the planet Earth today.
Wow. All right, and I do want to clarify one aspect about the defunding Planned Parenthood. He is, of course, the head of the executive branch. It is the legislative branch that has to get their act together when it comes to defunding Planned Parenthood. However, there was one aspect he could deal with it, and it has something to do with funding within Title X. And bottom line is, Planned Parenthood lost about $45 million of taxpayers' money while they're still getting about $500 million of taxpayers' money. But 45 or something like that was taken out because the Trump, the administration could handle that part. And so they said, okay, we're going to do what the people have said, defund Planned Parenthood. And in the meantime, we've got to change the legislature so we can get people who really do want to keep these promises to defund Planned Parenthood.
Correct. So where he has been able to act unilaterally, he's done so. At first he invited the Congress in to join him in that process, and when they were either too slow or obstinate in doing so, he took it upon himself through Health and Human Services to basically institute some rules that basically say that for Planned Parenthood, any women's clinic that provides other OBGYN services and also abortive services, they cannot be in the same facility. That abortive services, in order to receive Title X funding, the physical facility has to be a separate building. So there, the not so secret practice of Planned Parenthood is for a long time has been, well, we take federal funds for women's services, and then we take private funds for abortive services. But the reality is that, they pay the salaries of the same people, they pay the lights and leases of the same people. So the Trump administration said, well, if you're going to use that, pay the light bill and pay the leases, it has to be a separate building. So the reality is that Planned Parenthood basically quit applying for those $48 million of funding.
Okay, so we have less than 1 minute to go. Any comment about President Trump and religious liberty? And just give me a closing thought. 45 seconds.
You bet. Well, he at this point, I don't think there's really any question that his actions have met his rhetoric, that he's pro-faith and he is pro-life. And he, through a number of similar detailed practices in all of the different federal agencies, is actually protecting the rights of all religious Americans of any faith, frankly, across the United States. And so we're really pleased, through 3.5 years almost of his administration, that he truly has kept the promises that he made as a candidate. And we appreciate that from President Donald Trump.
All right. Tim Head, thanks so much for being with us. The website is ffcoalition.com. Thanks, Tim. All the best.
Thank you.